Welcome again to today's webinar. I'm happy to say that today is the spotlight on Brazil, and I'm joined by several of my wonderful colleagues from the Commission in Brazil, as well as we have a distinguished alum joining us. My name is Michelle Balorchi, and I'm an outreach and recruitment specialist at the Institute of International Education based in Washington, D.C., and I'm joined by my colleague Angelica Serna, who's the program officer for Brazil, as well as Tom Griggs, who was a visiting professor, was a visiting Fulbright scholar to Brazil in 2018-2019, and he's currently a visiting international professor in Brazil at the Universidade Federal dos Vales de Jamanchina, a Mucuri, I hope I said that right, and he's associate professor emeritus at the University of Northern Colorado. From the Brazilian Commission, we have Luis Loureiro, the Executive Director, as well as Patricia Grigio, Program Manager, Cristiane Nagayasu, Program Officer, and Ariana de Souza, Program Officer. So we've got a lot of great people on the panel today sharing their expertise and some valuable information. So let's get started. Just a little bit of background about the Fulbright Scholar Program. We are partnered with 160 countries worldwide to offer opportunities to academics, professionals, students, people from all backgrounds to teach and study and conduct research. And the program's been around for quite some time. We're looking forward to celebrating our 75th anniversary next year. And really, the mission of the program is to foster mutual understanding between communities and nations so that ultimately we can improve lives around the world. The Fulbright program is sponsored by the U.S. Department of State, and we receive a lot of funding from our partners around the world who are very interested in having Americans come to their country and kind of, you know, be in the classroom and build capacity. And the Institute of International Education has been administering the program. Diversity and inclusion is a key tenet of the program's mission, and we really strive in our outreach and recruitment strategy to ensure that the diversity of American society is reflected in our Fulbright grantees. And so we really want to ensure that everyone who is eligible to apply and to promote the program to everyone across different communities, geographic regions, backgrounds, etc. In terms of the program numbers, I want to point out that the program we're speaking about today for U.S. scholars is geared towards faculty, professionals, independent researchers, and we have about 800 grants annually for scholars and administrators. So this is particularly the program that I'm going to be speaking about today. If you are a recent graduate who has completed a bachelor's program, please note that we have the Fulbright Student Program, so you might want to check that website. But specifically today, we're looking at opportunities for scholars and professionals to teach and research abroad. All right, so in terms of baseline eligibility to participate in the scholar program, U.S. citizenship is required. And then after that, it really depends on the award requirements. So the program doesn't have one particular set of requirements. We do have U.S. citizenship and some other things outlined, but the award is really going to be the best place to look for the specific requirements. Is a PhD or terminal degree required? Is a master's degree fine as long as you have several years of teaching or professional experience? Those kind of things are outlined in the award description. And then if you've had a previous grant, a Fulbright Scholar grant, we ask that you wait 2 years between the time your grant ends to the time you reapply. All right, so you know, I'd like to dive right into the opportunities in Brazil, and the first thing I'd like to point out is that the program to Brazil is one of the largest that we have in the scholar program. So we offer this year up to 35 grants. That means 35 American scholars or professionals could go to Brazil to conduct research or teach. So you'll hear me say awards, you'll hear me say grants. You'll note that we have 6 awards to Brazil, but that equates to up to 35 grants. There's a variety of eligible host institutions for, and I'll be getting to more detail about that, so it doesn't necessarily need to be in a particular place. You're welcome if the award states that you are eligible to seek out your affiliation, you may do so. We do have partner awards as well. That means the Fulbright program has partnered with a particular university or institution to bring a Fulbrighter there, so that means the location is already predetermined. And of course, we have a Fulbright Commission in Brazil. This is a binational commission, so that means this is something where they administer the program in the country. They're there to act as a support and resource for the grantees, and again, they have a designated staff. So this is one of the key points about applying to a country like Brazil. There's a designated staff on site. And then we also have, in addition to the awards, you'll note there's a regional travel grant option available. Should you be selected, once you're in country, you would be eligible to apply for that to travel within the region. So, all right. So the main award, the first main award that I'd like to discuss is the All Disciplines Award. So this is the really large opportunity that has up to 30 grants, and it's also one of the most open in the sense that it really allows the applicant to determine where they feel they would be the best fit kind of identify the host institution, negotiate kind of what they would be doing, whether it's research or a combination of research and teaching, and for how long that would be. The grant is up to 3 to 4 months. And so that's something to determine with the host institution. A letter of invitation is required, so it's important to kind of jumpstart that process now and think about which place would be a good host. A PhD or a terminal degree is required as well, so that's something to take note of. And it is only open to academics that have at least had their PhD for 5 or more years. The nice thing about this award is that the flex option is available, and our alum, Tom, will be explaining a little bit about how his award worked because he did that on the flex option. And then the other awards that I'd like to point out are the Distinguished Chair Awards, and there's 5 of them. These are wonderful opportunities for senior scholars in the disciplines outlined here to partner with faculty and collaborators in the universities listed here. So we're looking at experts in computer science, international relations, neuroscience, public policy, and studies of the U.S. So these are the partner awards that I was alluding to. That means that the Fulbright program has partnered with these institutions, and the award description has a lot more information about what specifically these departments, or in this case with the public policy award, the foundation, what particularly they are looking for and would like to collaborate with. The flex option is also available, and it is a 4-month grant that can then be divided among kind of 2 trips of perhaps 2 months each or 1 month and 3 months. So that's what the flex option refers to. If you opt for flex, you do need to outline in the project statement the need for flex and outline the kind of the time frame, the timeline that you envision for the activity, whether it's research or a combination of teaching and research. And in terms of the breakdown of teaching and research, we do get a lot of questions about how do I determine the ratio of teaching to research. So if it's not stated in the award description, then that's something for you to negotiate with the host institution. So I'd like to welcome our commission colleagues, Luis, or any of you that would like to kind of comment on the opportunities in Brazil, and specifically share with the audience the priorities and also mention the locations, because with the All Disciplines Award, while it is open to the entire country, we do have some slight preferences for locations. So Luis or Patricia, happy to chime in now.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm Luis Lodero. I'm the Executive Director of the Fulbright Commission. I would like to say hello to everybody. Very happy to be here. Let me say a few words about the program as a whole, and then we'll go through the details of these awards, and maybe Patricia can add more specifics about the grants. So the first important thing to say is that this program is funded together with the Brazilian government. The reason why we have this, say, large figures compared to the other programs worldwide. So it's because it's a priority for our partner in the Brazilian government to have a significant number of Fulbright scholars in country. They see the scholars as a very important component in the development of those universities where they will be involved in. So this is the first thing I want to say. And we also have this particular partnerships with the set of five institutions, and I think I'm sure Patricia can talk more about those institutions. The priorities that Michelle mentioned, this is very important. So we do want to have, also because we have significant numbers of grants, we want to see people all over the country. The goal is to show not only the importance of the Fulbright scholars, not only in the main cities like São Paulo or Rio de Janeiro, but also in other cities that, like Diamantina, where Tom Griggs spent some time and where is he now, this is the opportunity to make a difference. São Paulo, Rio de Janeiro, and the other big cities, you very likely you'll be one more foreign scholar. And you'll not be the foreign scholar, like is the case in the small cities. So it's for sure it's more challenging, but I guess it's more rewarding. But of course, it's your call. You decide where you want to go, where do you want to apply to go, and you can count on us to give you as much information as you can so we can make a good pick. So, Patricia.
So, everyone, good afternoon or good morning, depending on where you are. It's very nice to be here, very exciting. Thanks for organizing this opportunity, Michelle and Tini. So we have the three grants for the all fields and the five distinguished chairs in different fields. Some have similar disciplines in their different institutions. These institutions are spread in Brazil in the different regions, and they are, I would say, well known for their academic opportunities, for their research and teaching opportunities. And we've been working with them for a while, with the majority of them. We would be happy to help you establish a contact if you would like to with these institutions, or clarify any questions that could encourage you for your application. So I think you are all aware that these grants, all of them, there is a flex option where you can have the conduct your work in two separate stays. Let me see what else. We are open to all disciplines. I think I could add, apart for the opportunity itself, the Commission in Brazil has a very straightforward and easy process for you to apply for the visa. Although U.S. citizens don't need a visa to travel to Brazil for tourism, as a Fulbright recipient, you need to have a proper visa, and it's very easy for you to get one. And it's free of charge due to an agreement between the two governments. I think, of course, you're going to answer questions. I don't want to extend my time now. But I would just say that we have a very good support system for you grantees when you become grantees. Thanks.
Excellent, excellent. Great. So let's have Tom join in and share about his experience and his path to Fulbright. So Tom,
hello everybody.
Yes. And tell us a little bit about your project as well.
You're from Jamanchina, Minas Gerais, Brazil, where I am just in the final stages of a year-long contract as a visiting international professor. That's how I've interpreted the title. It's not quite the Professor Visitante Estrangeiro. And I changed it to Visiting International Professor because the initials are VIP, and it makes me feel very special. So I want to tell you a little bit
That's
about
great.
My I started initially having contact with Fulbright because I'm a specialist in English as a second language, English as a foreign language. I have 24 years background in teaching teachers how to teach English to non-native speakers, both in American schools and intermittently, and more recently, especially, teachers of English students who are studying English from foreign countries, English as a foreign language. I came for the first time for a month before I got my Fulbright application. I happened to have had the good fortune to come for a month and work with teachers in the city of Belo Horizonte, which I had never heard of before. And although I was fluent in Spanish, and consider myself pretty much fluent in Spanish, I knew almost no Portuguese, but I was very much welcomed by the people who received me. The organization I was part of at that time is called Partners of the Americas, by the way. It's a kind of citizen-to-citizen sort of education and cultural exchange. So that organization had arranged for me to come work with teachers in the city of Belo Horizonte, the city school district within the big city of Belo Horizonte. And also, because of contacts with the University, Universidad Federal de Jequitinhonha e Mucuri, which I could not say trippingly off the tongue when I first arrived, I assure you, that I had the opportunity to spend some time with teachers who were working on their initial licensure in teaching English as a foreign language in Brazil. And since that time, I did my Flex grant both in the North American summer of 2018 and in the late spring of 2019. And the Flex grant worked well for me because I was able to fit it in and around my teaching obligations, which were still substantial at that point with the University of Northern Colorado. And since that time, I have moved towards retirement and I have built a project that I've been able to continue building as a VIP to help transform English language instruction in Brazilian schools. There's lots of challenges associated with that, and I happen to be at a stage of my career where I can really kind of just focus on that whole program development piece and the kind of social entrepreneurial aspects of trying to get people working together in a collaborative way on something productive and constructive, and not just feed my own professional goals, but try to support and express my appreciation for the tremendous hospitality I have experienced in Brazil. And I've got to say, among the people who have been so hospitable for me are the people at the Fulbright Commission. They've been wonderfully helpful to me during my Fulbright period, and ever since then we've had ongoing contact intermittently to continue my project development plans and to build upon them and so forth. And so that's why I'm here, and I'm actually getting reasonably good at my Portuguese. I spoke for a whole meeting today for about an hour in what I jokingly refer to as Portanholês, because it's actually a combination of Portuguese, Spanish, and English.
Wow. So Tom, if I could just interject, we typically get questions about language. So while we're on the topic, could you speak about how you navigated initially? Because I know that the Portuguese language requirement is not required for teaching. So tell us how you navigated in the beginning.
Well, my whole professional life as an academic has been about how you learn second languages. I teach a course in Historically, I've taught for many, many, many years, pretty much my entire career as a teacher educator, a course in second language acquisition theory. And so it was very interesting for me to be teaching that and also negotiating the process myself. But to put it very briefly, you have to kind of be an adventurous soul to pursue working in an environment where English is not the dominant language, where a large percentage of the population does not speak English. But if you have any language learning background at all, you kind of figure your way. You know, the goal is communication. The goal is not to speak well before you even start communicating. And I have benefited tremendously just from being present, enjoying food with people, enjoying conversation and coffee with people. An occasional shot of cachaça always helps a little bit as well. And these things all contribute to the experience. It's part of what the wonderfulness of the experience, to be perfectly honest. The Brazilians that I have met have been really grateful and gracious about having an opportunity to meet an American, to practice their own English and so forth, and basically, I say it's not really a barrier, it's more an opportunity.
Right. So Tom, could you share a little bit about how you selected the institution? We got a question about, how do I identify a host institution? So could you shed a little bit of light on that?
Sure. My situation is somewhat unique, and I suspect this is going to be true for everybody. But I mentioned the group that I initially linked up with that brought me here in the first place. They paid for my round-trip airfare, basically, is what they paid for. And the first grant I got, the non-Fulbright piece of the grant, the non-Fulbright-sponsored grant that I received for 2016. And that group of Partners of the Americas also arranged for homestays and so forth and so on. So that was my doorway. I mean, I happen to be in a field that is, little did I know when I started my career as a teacher of teachers of English as a foreign or second language, roughly 30 years ago, that this was going to be a high demand area, right? A high demand area in a globalizing economy and a globalizing world. And so that was my first experience, but I met people there. I met people through that organization who were, one of whom was a faculty member who had come from UFABJM to the United States to start building a relationship through Partners of Americas, between Brazil and the U.S. and wanted people like me to spend time at their institution, and so I did, and the amount of time I've spent has grown and grown and grown steadily. So it was, for me, a relatively easy thing to have a hosting institution, because I had a hosting institution who was looking for me even before I was looking for them. Not everybody will have that necessarily, but with a little bit of social entrepreneurial spirit, you should be able to find an institution, and it's worth taking the time to kind of scout. One question you could ask the folks at the Fulbright Commission in Brazil is, which institutions are known for fill in the blank with the name of your academic discipline or for research in the area of rainforest biology, for example, or something like that. And they can help direct you to those people. So that's one of the ways you do it. And I'm pretty sure, I can't speak for them entirely on this, but I'm pretty sure they'd be delighted to provide you contact, at least institutional contact information, if not specific individuals, perhaps, at some of those institutions.
Excellent. So yes, could we hear from the commission? Because we know that IIE is always to help, ready to help applicants. But can the commission be contacted directly by applicants? Luis or Patricia?
Okay. Sure, we can be contacted, but it's important to have as much information as possible about the project, the goals of your stay, to facilitate our work. We have a good network, not only among alumni, but also the researchers and academics in Brazil. And as you know, it's a big country, we have many institutions, we have many different fields, so it's very, very important to be as specific as you can about what you're looking for. So this will incredibly facilitate our job. Patricia, if you may add something.
Purpose. If you need to contact us, you could send us your resume, the project that you have in mind, and just to, as Luis said, to facilitate our search for you. We can also work in trying to reach out researchers, Brazilian researchers that you already have in mind, but for some reason couldn't do that yourself. So we can try to support you in that contact too.
Great. So going back to Tom, can you speak a little bit about how the flex option worked for you and how, in other words, how did you decide upon doing a flex and then how that played out with the teaching?
Sure. I'm quite happy to do that. One of the things I like about the flex option is that for a working academic like me who has, who at that time in particular had basically we would think of as a standard academic schedule, where I was teaching from early fall, North American fall through late spring, in the United States, it was very helpful for me to be able to fit my grant and the timing of my grant into periods of time where I wasn't working on that schedule. So basically I knew in advance that I had that constraint because one of the requirements of the Fulbright grant, at least when I applied, was that you dedicate yourself full time to the grant responsibilities and so forth. So I chose, again, because I had all that background and relationship with this university already, I knew when they were wanting me to come. I worked out the details with them about when I would like to come, got approval from them for those dates I was planning on, and then I had contact with the folks I needed to have contact with in order to time the arrival and so forth for my two-month stays during my grant work. So that's kind of how it worked for me.
Great. And Tom, could you speak a little bit about the benefits of doing research and teaching on a Fulbright, and also how, like, what impressed you about the students and the colleagues that you had at the institution?
Well, let's see. The benefit of the Fulbright is that I could afford to do the work that I wanted to do. That I've got to say, I mean, it was fundamentally financial, and I also have to say that my work with staff at the Brazil Fulbright Commission was very positive, very supportive. Facilitated any questions I had about anything from making sure I had my visa, when I might get my stipend payments, all kinds of details about the travel process and being admitted to the country and getting the paperwork I needed and so forth. So that part of it was great and very helpful and actually pretty easy to manage as a result of the people I had around me. And that includes both the staff at the Fulbright Commission here in Brazil and IIE, I should say, and as well as the people who encouraged me to apply for a Fulbright in the first place from the institutions themselves. The woman who was the head of the Office of International Relations at the university was also very supportive and provided staff support to help from the institutional side in facilitating things. Once I got there, I'm a kind of a social entrepreneur. I can manage. I've done lots of different things in my life independently, so I was free to kind of try to make some connections that I thought were valuable. But I was really interested in immersing myself in the culture, familiarizing myself with the challenges in the public school system, the opportunities in the public school system to improve English language instruction, and that's what I went about pursuing, and that involved all kinds of legwork and contact communication and so forth to develop relationships with the people I needed to work with. Did I answer your question clearly enough, or is
there something? No, I think that was good. Just a last question for you, Tom. What advice do you have for applicants in terms of the process, whether it's reaching out to an institution or the project statement, any of that?
Well, start early. I would say get a draft together as reasonably soon as you can. Be friendly. Be humble. It's an interesting business because I'm not used to bragging about my credentials, but in a way that's a little bit of what you have to do. But balancing that in terms of developing the relationships with the hosts, the institutional hosts, and the individuals who are involved in hosting you once you're here, I think a little humility goes a long way, frankly. And a lot of friendliness goes a long way. Brazilians, in my experience, have been the Brazilians in general have been very warm, welcoming, excited to have contact with me seemingly as much as I was enjoying having contact with them and learning about their country. And I think that kind of openness is really a positive thing. And as far as the details involved in the clearer you can be about what you want to do while you're here and what the benefits will be to the people that surround you while you're doing the grant work, to you in your professional life, and really in the spirit of the Fulbright program that's been around for 75 years now, I think is the number, or virtually 75, is really what it's all about. Right? And that's how I would answer your question, Michelle.
Great. So I think that was wonderful, Tom. The rest of the questions that have come in are, looks like they're mostly for the commission now about the logistics and kind of preferences. But if we have any questions for Tom, he's going to be with us for a couple more minutes. So please do chat them in. And let's see if there's anything. Let me just go through.
You would share my email address with people too,
yes,
right?
Yes, and I can actually share that in the chat.
Excellent.
I'll do that, and it's the Colorado email address, correct, Tom? The one that I've been using with you?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, excellent. So, yes, so if any of you have questions for Tom later, I'm just going to chat that right in, and you can reach out to him and kind of pick his brain, if you will. So that's just coming.
One of Boa sorte de todos, por todos vocês.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Tom. So, all right, his email address is in the chat. So thank you so much, Tom, for joining us today. We really appreciate it. Thank you for your insights. And I think what I'd like to do now before we move on to the next slides is we actually have quite a few questions. And so I'd like to ask the commission to chime in. So the first one is, with the flex option, does the program cover the airfare twice? And can the flex grant, can they be 1 month followed by 3 months, or should it be equally 2 months, if you can speak about the flex?
So I'll take that one. A flex grant means two segments of 2 months each. So that's how it works. I think I'm answering the second question, right? About the
yes.
Format.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was this question about the airfare. We provide a stipend to help the grantee cover two airfares. I mean, two round trip airfares.
Okay, great, excellent. Yes, so the idea is, since the grants are typically, well, for the all disciplines, it's 3 to 4 months, so that would be two visits maximum, and then the Distinguished Chair Awards are strictly 4 months, so anything more than two visits would just kind of dilute it, I think. So two visits, I think, are the max for that. And let's see, let's go to the question box again. We have a question about eligible institutions. Are they restricted to state universities and federal universities, or can we also affiliate with an NGO?
I'll take this one. Here's Luis. We would rather have scholars as students being hosted by higher education institutions or research institutes as well. NGOs, it's a possibility, but we check if we, in our assessment, if the NGO can really provide good conditions for the development of the project. The reason why is that because we have way too many NGOs, and some are very strong, consolidated, and others are in this process of being being one day a consolidated institution. So we are more careful with the NGOs, and we can more easily, say, accept as a sound affiliation, good and sound affiliation, at higher education institutions.
All right, excellent. So let's continue with the slides, and hopefully that'll also answer some of the questions that are coming in. So now we're shifting gears to speak about the application components. So you'll see all of the different components here on the screen. It's an online application form, and I would say the project statement is going to be something you want to really spend some time on. And then all of these other items here have page limits. So the project statement is 3 to 5 pages. We ask for a tailored CV or resume. And this year, the new requirement is only 2 letters. We used to require 3 letters of recommendation. Now we only require 2. So be sure you have really 2 of the best people to comment on your teaching or your research. A language proficiency is not required if you're teaching in Brazil. English is fine, but perhaps if you're doing research, it's important to show the feasibility of the project. So if you don't speak Portuguese, please address that in the project statement. And if you do have some ability in Portuguese, please do fill out the self-evaluation and the formal evaluation can be filled out as well, unless if you'd like to. So the and the other piece I would say is the letter of invitation. So I would say the 2 most important pieces that you really want to spend time on and make sure that they're very quality documents are the project statement and the invitation, and we'll go into detail. Supplemental materials are only required depending on really what you're looking to do. So if you're teaching, it'll be your course outlines or syllabi, maximum 10 pages, a bibliography for research projects, and then if you are from a particular set of disciplines, particularly creative and performing arts, architecture and journalism, we do require a kind of a mini portfolio, and there's more information about that in the application and online. So moving on to details about the project statement. The project statement is really, again, one of the key pieces of the application. This is really your time to shine. So focus on what you plan to do, outline how you plan to do it, if it's a teaching component, if there's a teaching component, what courses are you going to be teaching, why those courses, how does that benefit the host institution, what are the goals of your research, what are the methods you'll be using, and speak about the relevance of the project. Again, as Luis mentioned, what are the goals? Why are you interested in Brazil, right? So speaking about the impact and the outcomes, not only for you, but your host, and also when you get back to the U.S., right? How does that impact you and your institution back here? In the application form, we have also set aside separate questions. These used to be part of what was expected to be addressed in the project statement, but we've separated them out so you have a little more space in the project statement. So additionally, we ask, why are you interested in the Fulbright program and why this particular country? And then also asking you to speak about your adaptability. Fulbrighters are known for their flexibility, and so it's really important that you kind of have a plan B in place. We all know that we might have the best laid plans, and then we get to a different country or a different kind of cultural situation, and what we thought was completely understood might not fly. So it's important to have, you know, be prepared for different situations and to be able to deviate or adjust, you know, your project proposal accordingly. Right, so that it can be successful. So that's essentially what the project statement's all about. And then moving on, the invitations, so the affiliations. So for the All Disciplines Award, the invitation is required, so that's something that you do need to work on. For the Distinguished Chair Awards, it's important to check that the invitation letter should not be sought. So you'll see that in the award requirements tab, and I'll point that out shortly where you can find whether you need an invitation or not. But for the placed awards, you won't need one. And that's typically for Brazil. So in the invitation, just note that when you reach out to an institution, it's not a binding kind of it's not a formal kind of invitation. It's not a formal expression that you will be doing this Fulbright grant. It's non-binding, right? It's an expression of interest. They would like to host you, so they're outlining what you'll be doing. So it should have all those details. Ideally, the letter should come from the person that you hope to collaborate with or the person who will be your point of contact. And it should be on institutional letterhead. So those are the main kind of things. We don't have a particular format for the invitation, but we do have a lot of guidance on our website. And you can see here, this is a kind of, when you look at the award description, you'll notice that there's 4 tabs. When you click on the second tab, which is the award requirements tab, that's where you will find whether the invitation is required and further guidance. You'll also find the commission contact, so you'll see that listed there. So let's go on to the next slide. And I wanted to kind of showcase some of the successful past projects to Brazil and just really kind of showcase that there's been a whole gamut. You know, it is open to all disciplines. The main award, the All Disciplines Award, you can really, you know, the limit is your imagination, essentially. So whether it's STEM, arts, music, things like that, Brazil is a great place to do a Fulbright. So what I'd like to do at this point is take you to the website where you can find more information, and also we can take a look at the question box and see how we're doing there. So let's see, we've got some more questions coming in. Yes, so Luis or Patricia, if you could chime in, someone writes, they said that they've read in the online that Fulbright prefers applicants that haven't previously lived in Brazil. For someone who has lived in Brazil previously for a few years and they're fluent in Portuguese, would they be negatively impacted? And so if you could speak to that.
Okay, so here's Luis. What we like to support better is people that are having their first experience in a Fulbright and also the first experience in country. This is not always possible. So if we have a set of candidates that have different level of experiences in Brazil, we would prefer people that have not that much experience. For only one reason, to give this person an opportunity to be exposed to our country. So this is the rationale behind giving priority for people that don't have any prior experiences in Brazil. But
okay,
this is not just this. We are not excluding people. This is not the case. But we will give a strong preference for newcomers.
Excellent. Great. That answers the second question we had about that topic. So certainly you would welcome people to apply, but perhaps they should indicate in their project statement, you know, directly why they need to go to Brazil again, what the impact will be if they've recently or if they've had some experience in the past in Brazil. Is that correct, Luis?
Yes. Let's see the case of Tom. He had in the past a very brief experience under Partners of America. He could identify in a host institution. It helped a lot to get the grant. The fact that it was a it's an institution that is not in the main cities. So it's possible for people that has prior experience, but if they have, they need to indicate why it's important for them to have a Fulbright and come back again.
All right, great. We had another question about support for family members to join the Scholar. Could you speak about if that's available?
No, we don't have any kind of support for family. In general, what we offer as a stipend, and the award, not a stipend, but award, because it's one award, it's, say, quite comfortable for people to manage. Of course, it would depend on how many members you have in the family, but we don't have that many candidates that accepted the grant that declined because they could not deal with their families while in the country with the award. So, yeah.
Okay, great. So in other words, the stipend is actually, it could cover the cost of dependents accompanying then.
Correct.
Okay, excellent. So that's good to know. All right, so let's take a look at the website. We have it pulled up, and I want to share with you, because we're getting some questions about identifying host institutions and where you can find more information. So what I would say is the first thing is let's go to the awards catalog. So when you go onto the main page, which is CIES, you'll see under the picture we have these four tiles, and we're going to click on the catalog. And this is what I've been referencing, so we'll go there. And I also want to point out another useful resource. So let's you can take a look and scroll down. There's the eligibility requirements. You can see how to select the appropriate award. Keep in mind, you can only apply to one award in the competition, so it's important to understand where you would be the best fit. Now, Brazil makes it easy because they have the main All Disciplines Award, and then they have five discipline-focused Distinguished Chair Awards. So you don't have to do too much thinking about where you want to go with Brazil. It's more about identifying the host institution. Anyway, the FAQs are there, more important resources about the timeline and the review criteria and what you need to start your application. Now, if we go back up top and we click on Brazil, we can get to where you can find out more information in terms of eligibility, grant start dates, things like that. So we see here the six awards. Let's click on the All Disciplines, for example. And you can see on the right-hand side we have the activity, so it's research only or a combination of teaching and research. Academics except early career, meaning 5 years or less, 5 years or more out of your PhD are welcome to apply. I should say it that way. PhD or terminal degree is required. And it looks like the grant can start either July 1st of 2021 or must be completed between July 1st, 2021 and September 30th of 2022. So again, we're looking at next year's academic year. And we do see that projects are encouraged in all parts of Brazil and outside of the urban areas of Rio de Janeiro and Sao Paulo. So this is where I get all that information. If you click on the Award Requirements tab, you'll see that an invitation letter is required for the All Disciplines Award, and you'll see the Commission's contact in the additional comments. So if you click there, I believe that goes to your email address, Patricia. So get ready for a lot of emails coming your way if people choose to email you first. So that is there. And then if you'd like to see what the stipend and the benefits are, again, that tab is there, and it's a flat rate, $5,000 per month, and the airfare and the details are listed there. So that is something. Oh, and the other thing I wanted to point out while we're here is on the bottom right-hand corner, if you have other questions that come up after this webinar, feel free to join an office hour. And Chinny's pointing it out. He's highlighting it right there. We hold weekly office hours for the awards in the Western Hemisphere, so including Brazil, and I hold them every Tuesday from 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. So that's a great resource if you just want to chime in, join in and ask about different where you are in the process or about the award. Now, Chinny, let's go to the scholar directory. That's another resource. We had a question about how can I see more projects that were accepted to Brazil? Well, we have all of that information in our scholar directory. So if you click on, if you go to the home page, yep, and then right next to, yep, there it is. The scholar directory is right next to the catalog link. And you can actually search for the projects to Brazil by going to the advanced filters and clicking, typing in Brazil as the program country. And that way you can see, and if you really just take a look at the U.S. scholars, we'll filter for the U.S. scholars at the top, because this will show both Brazilians who came to the U.S., which is a great resource if you're looking to make contacts with faculty in Brazil. You can click on the link to find out non-U.S. scholars. But here I'm just looking at the U.S. grantees to Brazil, and you can also search by discipline, but you can see where they went, where they're from, what their discipline and specialization is. All of that information is there, and if you click on their name, so let's just click on a random one, and we can see the name of their project. So this one was looking at Looks like they're in internal medicine, so it's something in the medical sciences. So that is how you can find out the successful projects to Brazil, the ones that were grantees to Brazil. So the scholar directory, feel free to reach out to the alumni. Their email addresses are not listed, but I'm sure a quick Google search will yield that information. And of course, Tom has provided his email address as well. All right, so let's go back to the questions. Let's see, we got to that one, all right. All right, we have a question about how many applications do we get and what the acceptance rate is. So unfortunately, we're not able to share those statistics, but I would say if you have a project that is uniquely tied to Brazil, it's of interest, it's a timely and relevant topic to the host institution and the country in general, and Luis, feel free to chime in, I would say you have a competitive application. And certainly ensure that your letter of invitation is detailed and kind of comprehensive in the information and as enthusiastic kind of in tone. So I think those are the key things to consider in terms of being competitive. Luis or Patricia, do you have anything to add on how people can determine if they're competitive for the awards?
Patricia, maybe.
I think, generally speaking, everything was said here. Having the project very clear, sharing your goals, explaining why such place or a different place. I think. If there is more specific questions about this for something a specific project, you can of course email us. But I think we said all that we wanted about this.
One thing, can I add one thing, Patricia?
Please.
Okay.
Sure.
So it's important also to show what would be the outcomes of this your experience. Of course, not only under the personal and professional aspects, but also something that our co-sponsor, the Brazilian government, is very keen of is the potential of development of institutional connections. So if the applicant can show how this project can support linkages among Brazilian and American institutions, it's very important and will be taken into consideration when we assess the applications.
All right, great. Well, that puts us directly at time. So thank you so much for joining us today. I want to thank my colleagues at the Commission in Brazil. I want to thank Chinny, who is moderating, and Tom, who joined us earlier, the alum, and Angelica from IIE. Thank you all so much for joining today. Thank you for your questions. If we didn't get to your question today, please do email me. We have the contact right here, westhem@iie.org. That's the inbox that I look after. Again, my name is Michelle Balorchi. My contact is also at the bottom of each of the awards to Brazil, so please feel free to reach out to me, and we look forward to receiving your application. Good luck. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.